shall we?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Arch Abbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and it's such a pleasure to talk with Bishop Michael Boulette, Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese, Archdiocese of San Antonio. Bishop Boulette, thanks for taking the time.
My joy. This is, I think, our third conversation.
Yes, that's right. And we have talked about spiritual direction before, and I dare say we could keep talking about spiritual direction for a long time, because it really is such an important ministry. And I think especially in the times of the crisis that we're going through now, spiritual direction has a great role to play.
It really does. Spiritual direction is even more than a ministry. It's a gift. Mm. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, and has its origins in the way Jesus worked with his disciples. I'm thinking about the long journey beginning in chapter 9, I believe, in Luke's gospel, and just all the way to the cross, and all the way he's listening to his disciples and asking them to listen to him, and he's giving them bits of the truth and the one prayer they can't let go of, the one attitude they have to have. I mean, it's just wonderful to be able to see that and know it. In regard to spiritual direction and the present situation in the church, which is indeed a crisis. People describe things in lots of ways. It's a crisis certainly for us bishops as we lead our dioceses and the like. But it has many folds. But first of all, there certainly is the once again the call for priests to be in spiritual direction. I do not know. I've had the gift for a very, very long time, since I entered the seminary when I was 14, and yet even before that, my pastors gave me sufficient time to listen to me and to help me uncover the call that I felt to the priesthood, which was from my mother's womb. I never felt called to anything else. Hmm. And so it was, it needed to be, solidified. It needed to have legs. It needed to be fleshed out. And even during that time, the call to be a priest, what that meant exactly changed many times along the way. So I really don't know how anybody can lead a parish or a diocesan ministry or be in religious life that is not in constant conversation with God in prayer, and then the unpacking that prayer within spiritual direction. It's just so necessary. But, today I feel called to say something to anybody who has been abused, not just by the clergy. As we well know, clergy abuse is very real. It's becoming less and less, thanks be to God, with our efforts over the last 15, 20 years to identify our problems and to deal with them directly. So it's a lot less prevalent. But I've been a pastor for a very long time, and every single week I've dealt with somebody who was abused, either in the past or recently in their homes, by laymen and women. And so I want to call out to them to know how important spiritual direction could be to their healing. Mm. Today. Obviously, the psychological sciences have much to offer, and it's important, but so does the Spirit of God in prayer. It is definitely part of the remedy. It is too easy for us when people in our lives, our parents, our relatives who are older than us, a priest or some religious figure in our lives affects us negatively, abuses us in some fashions. It does not even need certainly to be a sexual thing. It can be words or some other sorts of abuse that we know about. But to be able to see that that it isn't God who is doing these things. And so, or it isn't even, quotes, his church doing these things. It's individuals in the church leadership possibly, or individuals who go to church if it's in the family and the like. But God, if we continue to go back to God's word, we see very clearly that this isn't God's desire for us. And so God is the answer. And our relationship with it, God, is the answer. And it continues to fill us up and continues to direct us. And so having a conversation with someone in spiritual direction, as after I have prayed, for that's essential for there to be any spiritual direction in any case, is really part of the solution. And so as I told you a few minutes ago, a spiritual direction is a part of every path to goodness, you know, everybody's path to goodness.
And you just spoke beautifully about spiritual direction assisting those who have been hurt in a whole variety of ways, also including abuse by clergy, that there's real healing in inviting, opening up a pathway for God to enter into those places where people have been hurt and to receive that grace, to be able to integrate that into a relationship with him, which, as you said, he is not the one, he's not the cause.
Yeah. My own experience, I don't even need to read books on the subject. You know, my father was a difficult man. He was a troubled man. He was an addicted man. And so God and God's church and God's conversation in prayer with my mom, you know, brought her to healing through this process. I watched it happen. And in terms of my own life in that arena of abuse, the conversation that began in liturgical prayer, you know, the Mass, serving the Mass, having conversations in various devotions and the like, and that, you know, continued into the home devotions, the home prayer, that even when my father didn't participate, you know, it was possible to be there. And then that blossomed as I went through the seminary. But it continued to help me identify what troubled me about my life and about my father's attitude toward me and attitude toward my brother and his wife, my mom. So it helped uncover and at the same time heal. And with the assistance of some psychological counseling as well, the combination was incredibly healing, and I consider it all grace.
Yeah, they work very nicely together.
Yes, they do.
Counseling and spiritual direction.
They do. Yes, they work for different purposes, as you know. Counseling is about my relationship with myself and other people, and spiritual direction is my relationship with God. But all three of them are important for my living. My relationship with God, my relationship with myself, and my relationship with other people. So they form a beautiful unit a unifying healing process.
And spiritual direction would also be helpful for the clergy to live out their vows, to live out a difficult calling, one that is maybe not even humanly possible, certainly one that benefits from and perhaps absolutely needs the grace of God, and spiritual direction can really facilitate that too, it seems.
True. I hesitate to say that being a priest is any more difficult than being a mom and dad and working and so forth. I believe that spiritual direction helps all walks of life, because all of us need to get to heaven. All of us need to make our way and follow His path into the kingdom of grace, into the kingdom of love, and the like. We each have our unique situations. Some folks have suggested to me that the answer to this particular crisis is certainly one of the answers is the removal of mandatory celibacy. And as I'm hearing this in one ear, I'm listening to a leader in a denomination where where the clergy marry, and he is scratching his head about what to do because one of his ministers beat his wife. You know, I mean, you know, every particular vocation has its temptations, its illnesses, and its temptation to violence. And so, we must do something about it. But I'm really hoping, and I've dealt with several, many victims or survivors in my life. Not vast majority, I'm not by at the hands of clergy, but I am aware how much better we are doing in the Catholic Church now. Some particular things are being uncovered from the past, but in terms of present sins being committed in this fashion, violence committed, it's so much less in diocese yes. after diocese after during this time. That is not to excuse us. There should be zero.
Yes.
It should be zero. But it is a blessing to see that our efforts already are improving and that our continuing efforts, we hope, will obliterate it completely.
Mm. One priest said to me that one of his directees was observing that a priest without a spiritual director almost sounds like malpractice. And the expression struck me, but there's a certain logic to that.
Complete.
And then it begs the question, well, how do we get into this place that so many priests, or at least many priests, don't have spiritual directors? And
Let's talk about that. I mean, let's try to analyze that a little bit. When I was first introduced to spiritual direction in a formal way, there were approximately 20 priests on the faculty, and therefore, and not all of them were trained exactly as spiritual directors, but that they were presumed to be able to direct someone in the spirit. So. It's like plucking flowers from a beautiful garden. So we go into the parishes, we're 150 miles from anywhere, and there's not a formed spiritual director within 200 miles of us, which is still the case in many places. Or there's, you know, like there's 100 priests and there's two trained formed spiritual directors in the area. And other priests are not encouraged or do not feel the call to be a spiritual director in a formal sense. That's how I got into it, by being called into the seminary. But after I was out of the seminary faculty, the continuation of forming spiritual directors, which I'm doing right now, begins by noticing that the retreat movements that are very active in our archdiocese, leaving people all excited about their relationship with God, but no place to continue the conversation because priests are too busy about other things, and they need to be less busy about some of those other things and more busy about this. But nonetheless, that's the way it is. And so that's when I felt obliged by God to do something, which is, you know, my life and forming of spiritual directors is what that's, you know, what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to be for those things. So, but I do consider it malpractice. We don't, every spiritual director who we form must have a spiritual director.
Yes.
And a supervisor.
Yes.
And we see, I feel that way about priests as well. We've got to be open to evaluating our ministry and bringing and going to a place, having a place to go to, that when we do make, when I overreact to something or whatever, that I have a place to go talk about that.
Yes.
So that those things don't get out of hand and I continue to deal with my emotions.
Mm. Yeah, the kind of understandable cry for integrity, accountability, transparency doesn't start with going to the press. It starts with going to somebody who is absolutely safe in that confidential setting to at least get in touch with what I did and what I'm feeling and what's happening in the ministry to keep things from going off the rails to begin with.
Yeah, but that confidentiality never does not limit the ability and the necessity of making reports about
something
that are essential,
right,
that are crimes against minors and
right.
so forth.
Right.
So, which is a discussion I continue to have with priests and so forth about that the seal of confession is sacred. Counseling of a pastor requires the freedom to, there are certain situations and confidentiality must be broken. With the knowledge of the person when you begin the conversation, you know, that there are areas and I must report child abuse, I must report anything that has to do with physical harm to someone else, you know, suicides, that sort of thing, temptation to suicide and the like.
I feel like we're in a wonderful time, but a little bit of an in-between time where the importance, there's a recognition of the importance of spiritual direction, but as you mentioned, not enough spiritual directors. But I love the program that you have founded many years ago in San Antonio and are continuing to develop and expand.
Yeah, and we're now in collaboration with the Diocese of San Angelo to do the same thing there. They are providing resources for themselves, and we're assisting them in developing that program. But every diocese needs it. Every diocese needs a formation program in spiritual direction. And you can't turn it over to the universities. It's something that needs to be part of the formation training of as we train for various ministries in the church. This formation process needs to be available. It's a great ministry and essential.
Yes. Bishop Blood, thank you so much for all that you're doing to push that movement forward, and for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Father. Again, good to see you again.